for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, April the 3rd, 2010. Philip Morris is the speaker of this service teaching on MPD, Multiple Personality Disorder. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Not a support group, but a support system. Okay? A support group sits around and rehashes all the old things, and you know, they just talk about old problems, you know? But a support system is someone who they can talk to, who understands and doesn't get mad whenever they switch and they change. And like you said, one day they like lemon pie and the next day they like apple pie, you know. And, you know, one day they're nice and the next day they're ornery, you know, and or the next minute, you know. It can switch just like that, you know. And so, but you have a support system. Now that 30-year-old nurse I was telling you about, she was the reason I bought my first cell phone. Because I was out on the road, out in the country, and was coming back from someone's house, and there's a long stretch of road where there's nothing out there. And I got a beeper. I used to have a beeper, you know. I had a beeper. I had a girl come through, used to be a drug dealer, and she got set free of drugs and gave me her beeper. I got a lot of phone calls for a while. Hello. They'd beep me. I'd call them back. Yeah, man, what you doing? Yeah. Say, man. I said, no, man, Susan doesn't own this phone anymore. But hey, let me, I got to, I'll tell you what, man, do you know Jesus? So I got to witness to a few druggies, you know, but phone quit ringing. I mean, the beeper quit ringing after a while, you know. It only took about 3 weeks for that thing to quit ringing, you know. But anyway, I got a beep when I was going down through the country, and had to wait till I got back to Houston so I'd get a payphone. And she was going through a trauma, a bad time in this process. And that's when I determined I need to get a cell phone so I can get a hold of these people and they can get a hold of me when they need it. Okay. And so anyway, but what I told her, I said, she's talking to me. And I said, wait a minute. Let me talk to your husband. He got on the phone. I said, listen, I don't care. Anytime you call me, anytime, day or night, I don't care. You can call me day or night. That's not the issue. The issue is, have you prayed for her first? You're her authority. You're her first authority. You're the first line of defense here. Have you prayed for her? He said, no. I said, okay. I will pray for her this time. But from now on, you can call me anytime, day or night. But only after you have prayed for her, and if you still have a problem, then you can call me. Say, and her deliverance went that much faster. See, before then, he wasn't involved in it. When I got him involved in it, boom, it went quicker. I really believe that's why in 3 months' time, because that was like the second month into that process. And so when I got him involved, and they have a good support system, you know, it's good. I've worked with one that she had a real good friend that she trusted. And the friend was in ministry, but not in deliverance ministry. And so the friend, being the friend that she was, and a wise one, realized this is not her cup of tea. And so brought her to me. After she had already went to Colorado and California and New Mexico and all these other places, and come to find out, they found about me, and I live 30 minutes from them. You know? And so, anyway, I'm trying to get all this in. I'm trying to hurry, folks. Go with me to Mark, the 5th chapter. And this is the story of the demoniac, okay? And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him at the tombs, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now that's some pathological behavior, isn't it? And that was showing you some real pathological behavior, social pathological behavior. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. That was the real man. That was the real Billy Bob. The real Billy Bob that went to Jesus and fell down at the feet of Jesus and began to worship him. Do you realize every person in the Bible who got deliverance, either they themselves or their authority brought them to Jesus for ministry? They were in agreement with the ministry. The Gadonian, the demoniac in the Gadarenes was in agreement and was seeking God for deliverance. That's why he came and ran to Jesus and fell on his knees and began to worship him. Okay? And he cried out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Now, if anybody ever tells you that everything out of the mouth of a demon is a lie, they're lying to you. They told the truth right there, didn't they? I know who you are. You're the Most High. See? But all demons are liars. And I don't care to figure out whether they're lying or telling the truth, so therefore I just don't talk to them. See? You know what Jesus said? Here's what I do four schools of deliverance at our church. I got hours and hours of deliverance teaching in me. And I tell people in my school, it takes over 3 weekends to do this. I say, now, get this. If you haven't gotten anything else in all these days, get this. Whenever a demon, you see a demon, you say, do it just like Jesus did. Be quiet. Shut up. Whatever you want to say. I say, shut up. You know, Jesus was kinder. He said, be quiet. You know, and get out. Jesus forbid them to talk and commanded them to leave. Shut up, get out. You got that? Everybody say it. Shut up, get out. Deliverance minister, right there, bud. Hallelujah. Yeah. You got it. That's all you need to know. Hallelujah. So, but anyway, see, the real man had came and fell at his knees and was worshiping Jesus. And then Jesus said, "What is your name?" Jesus was speaking to the man. But the man didn't have a chance to talk back. Okay, I believe what Jesus was doing here. Now, there's some things here. I look at this and there's some really interesting things. But I believe he was talking to Billy Bob, saying, "Billy Bob, come up here and talk to me and get in agreement with me, Billy Bob. Come on, Billy Bob, get in agreement with me. We're going to cast this thing out." See? He was talking to the real man, but the demons began to speak. They overpowered him. Okay? And he answered, saying, "My singular name is Legion, for we are many." See? Sounds like a multiple. If it sounds like a duck, walks like a duck, probably is. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, and so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed, or had been demonized, okay? Well, this man probably he was possessed, you know, and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Okay? I believe that the reason this story of the demoniac is in the Bible is to show us the power and authority we have in the name of Jesus. Do you realize when he said we are legion? There are many. I am legion, for we are many. A legion is a term from the Roman army, which meant 3,000 to 6,000 infantry plus the artillery and the cavalry. That's a lot. That's a lot. Now, people have asked me for years, why did he let them go into the pigs?
That's the day Devil Ham was
first. That's the first sign of Devil Ham we ever recorded. You know? It's a little deliverance minister joke, you know. But we look at this. Here's why I believe. I don't believe it was because Jesus didn't like pigs. Okay?
No.
He didn't eat pork, but I don't believe he... I don't think he did it because he didn't like pigs. Okay? Here's why I believe it did. Every other time in the Bible when Jesus cast a demon out of a person, cast a demon out of the person, a lot of times, what did that demon do? Throw him down, convulse him,
yes.
Scream, tear at him. If one demon did that much, what do you think 6,000 coming out of a man would do? He would have just went... He'd exploded, wouldn't he? So Jesus allowed the demons to do what they will do anyway. They first, priority, they want a human body to manifest in. Secondly, they'll take an animal. And they'll go into an animal. And so, they did not want to leave the region. They wanted to stay in the region. Jesus allowed them to stay in the region. He sent them into the hogs. They would rather be into an animal than to be going through every place and seeking rest and finding none. Amen? So they went in the animals. The animals went off the cliff. They died. And the demons came back up into the air. And they stayed in the region. Okay? So, I believe that Jesus allowed them to go into the swine to save the man's life. Okay? Now, when we look at this, it says, I got to move on. Okay, we got that dissociation. We talked about dissociation, didn't we? Strong man. The vow of silence. Remember I told you whenever they're going through in satanic ritual abuse, a lot of times they make them take a vow of silence. But even in other abuse, remember I told you the girl? This is an interesting situation. Talk about multiple. This girl that went through all the incestuous sexual abuse for years in her family, they had a system worked out. The demons will work out a system. The demonic personalities. She had a job that she had to be sharp on. She had to be able to have information, and she had to be sharp. They allowed her to do her job, and she would be out, and she would do her job, and she was good at her job. They allowed her to do it then because they had a system. When they got behind her door, they took over. Her house was a total wreck. Demons ran wild at night when she went home. When she was outside, she had a little problem with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, to where she was very meticulous in her dress and everything. But when she went back in that door, boom, they took over. And it was a total wreck. One of the greatest joys she had after getting set free, she cleaned her house up, she cooked a meal, and invited people over for dinner. That was one of the greatest joys she had. She had control of her home again. You know? It was awesome. You know, so things like that. But she had taken they had put her in a vow of silence also. It was an interesting thing. Let me just share this. I'm trying to just give as much as I can to you. She wanted, you ever heard of the intervention thing, you know, or the confrontation thing? The intervention is where you bring a person in to try to help them. Confrontation is whenever a person's in here, but they have issues with mom and dad, and they bring mom and dad in, and in a controlled setting, they have a confrontation. She wanted a confrontation with dad and mom. I first warned her. I said, okay, but listen. What are you going to do if they don't admit it? Because they may not admit it. They may not own up to this. So what are you going to do? We had to deal with that issue first. We had to get her to the point where whether they owned up to it or not, it wasn't going to throw her into a loop. You know, I wasn't going to digress all the way back here. You know, so we worked it. She said, okay. He came in, and they came in. Mom got the closest to admitting it. Mom knew what was going on, but Mom didn't say anything. And Dad blew it off. Dad would not admit it. Didn't bother her, though. We didn't lose any ground. She was right, but at least she got it out from her side. Say, so it may not ever be a confrontation. May not. In a satanic ritual abuse, I don't advise it because with satanic ritual abuse, I advise no contact whatsoever with those people. I don't care if they're family. Let me tell you about a story in Illinois. I had the pastor and his wife and another couple of a church in Illinois had been to Houston and went through deliverance with me. They had a girl that came to their church. 24-year-old woman, I'm sorry, not a girl. 24-year-old woman came to their church. And she was a program destroyer. She came out of a coven out of Chicago, Illinois. She was a program destroyer. The way they program them is that they go into a church. They'll see a church that is moving and moving into things of God. And they'll send a program destroyer in. And the destroyer does not come in and attack the pastor or anyone in authority. He'll come over here and say, Tom, I don't think that woman over there is right. I really think that woman, you know, she, you gotta watch out. She was trying to get Tom. You gotta watch out for Tom. See? And what that program destroyer will do will begin to bring dissension in. Bring dissension and division into the church. And boom, it destroys the church. Well, they are programmed also to hear, when they hear certain words, they check out. And some of those words, Christ, saved, salvation. So during an altar call, you know, they're checked out. Miraculously, by a miracle of God, this girl got born again in that church. She accepted Christ and was born again in that church. Man, whoa, just boom. That's how powerful God's Word is, man. It got through. Spirit of God got through. And so she moved in with a family in the church, and she was living there for 5 months. During that 5 months, they began to see, when they talked about certain words, she'd check out. And they began to notice in this, so they began writing these words down. They had a list of 25 or 26 words, something like that, that they knew when they say those words, she'd check out. Okay? And so the church called me and flew me to Illinois to work with this girl. I went in there and I started working at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, I've never done this before and I've never done it after. But it was a special situation. They flew me up there, and so that's what I was there for. I started at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, you got to understand, let me back up a little bit. 24-year-old woman, let's see, her mind had snapped to a 9-year-old girl. So all she was a 9-year-old girl. In a 24-year-old woman's body. And I began to hear the story. The story was that Mom and Dad was the high priest and priestess of the coven in Chicago. The Monsignor of the Catholic school where she went was in the coven. There were other high authorities in the coven. According to the Catholic school records, she had perfect attendance and great grades. She taught herself how to read under the covers at night with a fleshlight. They would take her out of school and put her through satanic ritual abuses. They would take her out of school. She told me that she had did kiddie pornography in Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion in Wisconsin. She had done kiddie pornography. One of the films that she did, have you ever heard the term a snuff film? A snuff film is where somebody gets killed while having sex. She was in one. The man was killed. It was done on a bed that was lined with balloons. And so every time she saw a balloon, she checked out. Her parents kept her doped up quite a bit to do these things. They doped her in rituals and stuff. She went through some of the most horrendous rituals you could think of, blood sacrifices and things like that. You mentioned yesterday about killing a... I have one lady that we went through a sacrifice that there was two girls there. There was a baby and her. And she was about 4 or 5. And they killed the other one. No, it wasn't a baby, it was a girl. Yeah. And they killed the other girl, took her body parts, and stuffed her body parts up in the orifices of this girl. Every orifice she had, body parts, took them out. Made her drink the blood of that girl. Okay? The girl in Illinois, she wasn't in Chicago, she was out of Chicago. Her parents, if she didn't do what they told her to do, they would put her in a hole in the backyard and put the cover over it and leave her there for 3 days. Bury her alive for 3 days. One time they wanted her to do a pornography movie with her puppy, and she refused. They killed the dog, chopped it up in little pieces, put her in a casket, and threw the pieces of the dog on top of her and closed it for 3 days. That's why I wanted to get in the flesh and hurt somebody. When I hear some of the things... When I hear some of the things that these people have went through, it just hurts me tremendously. You know. But, now she had snapped back to 9 years old. I started at 10 o'clock in the morning. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she came back to 14 years old. She remembered things up to there. And then we went on. And about, I was thinking around midnight or something around that time, she came back 24 years old. And when she came back 24, about 10 o'clock, and I'm still working with her and still working with her. And at about midnight, I gave her the list of the words. Remember the words that caused her to check out? She read the whole list herself. No problem. And then someone said, well, what about a B-A-L-L-O-O-N? I said, well, I don't know. You got one in the house here? They said, yeah, we got one. Well, bring it on down here, you know. Kid come into that room playing that, and boom, boy, she was gone, man. She saw that balloon and she checked out. I said, we ain't done yet. We went till 2 o'clock in the morning. When I left, she was playing with that balloon. I mean, God did a work in her. And in my book, she sent me letters over the next year. And I've got excerpts from her letters about, you know, how God touched her life. Amen. And so, but she had taken the vow of silence also. And one of the things you do, you need to lead them in a prayer to renounce the vow of silence. And then a lot of times when I'm talking to them, when I'm working with them, you know, I'll say, Billy Bob, it's okay to talk about it, Billy Bob. We broke that vow of silence. Nobody's going to get hurt. They're not going to do anything. So you can talk about this. And then Billy Bob, the real person, will begin to tell you things. I don't listen to demons, but I'll listen to the real person. You know? And so, like I said, I believe these things are demonic. I don't believe that they are alter personalities. I believe what they call an alter personality is really a nest of demons. It's just a nest of demons that work together as a personality. And it can, you know, and sometimes if a person has total amnesia, you know, this there might be totally different things, and they go places and do things, and then the real person doesn't know what happened, you know? And that's why it seems like a lot of times a person with MPD is very manipulative and a liar. But you're talking to Billy Bob, you said, Billy Bob, man, I saw you the other day over at the store. Because it looked like Billy Bob. He said, I wasn't over at the store. I wasn't over at Walmart. I didn't go to Walmart. What are you talking about? I said, yeah, I saw you the other day at Walmart. I ain't been to Walmart in 6 weeks. And she said, man, that man's lying to me. I saw him. No, it was that body. It was Billy Bob's body. But Billy Bob wasn't in control. It was something else. Something else taking him over. See? And that's why sometimes you'll see him and... This is why, judge not lest you be judged. Okay? Because one of those personalities may be going to the strip bar. You know, what do you call them? Strip joint, you know. I know what we used to call them in the old days, but I can't say that here. You know, but anyway, let me read some things from Fred Dickinson, Demon Possession in the Christian, A New Perspective. He said, demonization is always presented as a spirit inhabiting a human. This is evidenced by the expression such as, for many demons had entered him. Here the spirit who is external to the man is seen as invading his body, most likely the control centers of the brain that affect his mind, behavior, and physical strength. Okay? And then he said again, in demonization, the personality of the demon eclipses the personality of the person afflicted. The demon displays his personality through the human's body to a greater or lesser degree. The control may be overt or covert. And the phenomenon of demonization surpasses scientific and psychological explanation. It is marked by the influence of a demon personality within a human with certain rather well-defined characteristics, a demonic syndrome obvious in scriptures and in case studies today. Okay? So that was Fred Dickinson. We see in the demoniac... the demons, you know, they was begging Jesus, don't send us out of this region. You know, no, they was begging, they was pleading, they was screaming, they was, you know, crying out. Characteristics of a personality, right? You know? And so, we see here what Merrill F. Unger wrote in the book, What Demons Can Do to Saints. In the case of the Gadarene, on the one hand, he runs to Jesus, apparently for help. On the other hand, he reacts in fear and begs him not to torment him. There is an obvious, visible, and terrible conflict within the demonized person. He never knows from one moment to the next when the powers of darkness will choose to take over and black out his personality. The new interjected personality enables the severely demonized person to speak with other voices that are not his own and in languages he's never studied. It is a common occurrence for a woman in the demonized state to speak with the deep bass of a man's voice or a man to speak with a woman's voice. It's not unusual for a severely demonized person to speak with many voices, for each demon may speak out by using the victim's tongue and vocal cords. But the amazing thing is that the new personality, or personalities, as the case may be, often speaks languages completely unknown to the victim. So, we see that. In Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old New Testament Words, demonizomai, remember the word for demon possession, demonizomai, signifies to be possessed of a demon, to act under the control of a demon, and those who were thus afflicted expressed the mind and consciousness of the demon or demons indwelling them. Hallelujah. Well, I'm about halfway through my notes. Let me share something real quick with you. Okay. Go ahead and pass it out while I'm talking, because I don't know if we even get to that picture or not. But there is a ministry, a well-known ministry in the United States, on the radio and television. I think they're still on television. I'm not sure. They might not be anymore. But they teach that you have to get each one of these personalities saved. You know why? Because of 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So that's a total mistranslation of that, misinterpretation. That's meaning for Christians not to get involved with heathen in you know, financial arrangements and business arrangements and marriage and all that kind of stuff. That's out. It's not talking about in here, inside. But they say what you have to do is lead every personality to the Lord and get them saved. And then they can integrate and become one. Holy mackerel. Yeah. You know, I said, you've got to be kidding me, man. This person's on TV and radio. You know? And so, no, you don't. You can't get a demon saved. Demons believe in Jesus. And they tremble. Why? Because they know where they're going. You know? Their place is reserved for them, and it ain't in heaven. Amen? It ain't in heaven, and it ain't on this earth. It's in hell. Amen? The lake of fire is reserved for those, you know, for later. So anyway, we can't get these things. What is your personality? Mind, will, and emotions. Up here in the soulish realm, right? Jesus died that our spirit man would be born again. And Paul, who had a pretty good relationship with Jesus, wouldn't you say? You know, he got 2/3 of the New Testament written, you know, and so he had a pretty good relationship. But what did he say? Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What is he talking about? He's talking about our flesh. He's talking about our mind. He didn't mention the spirit, did he? Well, he mentioned that back in the first chapter. And he wrote to the saints at Rome. The saints. We are all saints. We're born again children of God. We're the saints. Amen? He didn't have to talk to them about their spirit. Their spirit had Jesus. You can't get any better than that. Amen? But he was concerned about their flesh and their mind. Our mind is not born again. It's renewed. Amen? And so this is where the problems are. So we have to get into where these problems are. And it's not getting a demon saved, a demon personality saved, so that I can integrate into one. I had a lady come into my office one time. I was training some other people on my team. And I'm sitting back in my office chair back here, and they're working with her. And on my questionnaire, I've got a thing that says, did you have any imaginary playmates when you was growing up? And she had wrote 3 names down there. And so Doug was working with her, and I finally said, Doug, I said, did you talk to her about those 3 names she had in there about the imaginary playmates? He said, no. He said, but I'm going to. I will. He turned around and he said, you know, on your questionnaire, and here, this woman was studying to be a nurse. I don't know if it's something about nursing. I don't know. Anyway. But anyway, she was sitting there in the chair, just prim and proper and everything else. He said, you mentioned these 3 names. And he named off them 3 names. And this woman goes, no, Mommy, no. Please don't hit me, Mommy. Please don't hit me, Mommy. Just like that. Doug looked at me and I said, I think we lost her, Doug. And so I just rolled up her in my chair. And we had a group deliverance in one person. You know, and I went against all 3 of them, cast them out. Now, here's what I wanted to say. In John, the 15th chapter, Jesus prayed for us that we might be one. I'd never done it in my life before. And I said, Jesus? No, I said, God, I'd like for you to answer Jesus' prayer for this woman right now. That one that he said, I pray that they be one. And I said, Lord, I ask that you make her one. This is after I'd cast out and dealt with the demons and got rid of them. I mean, it was glorious. It was glorious. After we was done, she said, this is the first time in my life I've felt like I'm all here. She said, she said before she would see a cat, and one part of her would have the C, another part would have the A, and another part would have the T. She said, I feel one. I'm one. We're talking, you know, first we're talking over 6 years, and then we're 2.5 years. We're talking 2 hours. You know, I said, I like God's timetable here, you know. But it doesn't always happen that way. But she, you know, she just got set free. It just, boom, just like that. But see, man, I mean, it was scary. Sitting there just all prim and proper, and all of a sudden, no, don't hit me, Mommy. Don't hit me, Mommy. Just like that. Boy, I said, whoa, man. That was something. So you never know. Oop, I'll make sure I don't knock off that little microphone there. But you never know. And so I talked to you about that. I'm trying my best. One of the things that I do, and I want to share with you, if you're ever talking to somebody, this person that you're working with, if you're working with someone like this, they could get into a very codependent relationship with you if you don't watch it. So therefore, in secular, that's what happens a lot of times in secular psychiatry. The therapist becomes the savior. I tell them all the time, I am not your savior. I'm not your savior. I'm just a vessel that God's using. Jesus is your savior, and he'll never fail you, but I might sometime. I'm not your savior. Why? Because they have been hurt so much in their life. If I don't straighten them out on that, I can do something wrong, and boom, they're gone. They're gone, just like that. And that's why a lot of times with multiple personality in the secular realm, they'll go to a therapist for a year and year and a half or something like that, and then they leave. Then they go and they start it all over again. And they'll go for a couple of years and they'll go somewhere else. Nobody gets there. They don't ever give you help. What happens is this. That therapist, by bumbling along and going along and asking questions and stuff, he gets close. He or she gets close. And the demons run. The demons will run. See? And so that's why you have to, it's a situation that you have to develop the trust with them. They have to be able to trust you. You know? And otherwise, they'll run and they won't come back. God, I've got so much. Brother, anytime, pull the cord, okay? I'm sorry, folks. He's getting up almost. Yeah, what'd you say? Oh, okay, yeah. I'm gonna leave. As soon as I get done, I gotta leave. I'm sorry, folks, but I gotta go. Anyway, oh wow, Holy Ghost, just let me finish this. Yeah. This lady, I told you about a while ago, the lady, the one who went the repetitious sexual incest. This woman, you know, we have different. This woman had a different room for each one of these personalities. It looked like a hotel. Had a wing over here and down this way, and then the last one was a two-story building. I got the picture in my book, but I had to work with her. Now, this is what you have to. You can't go in there and just. Boom, busting things up and going after everything at one time. Can't do it. God directed us to deal with one room at a time. Now, this is crazy. Y'all might believe me, but, you know, most people think I'm nuts. You know, but, you know, who knows? You know, anyway. Anyway, we had to go in there and we deal with that demon in that one room. And then when we get it done, I said, okay. Now we're going to put a case of dynamite in there and blow that room up. We ain't going back in that one. Boom. You know? And in the spiritual realm, things were like that was happening. You know? Because she wouldn't know. It was gone. So then we go to the next room. And we did this all the way down and around over here. And the last one was a two-story building. Two-story. And this is where she went all the time. This was her safe place. And when she went in there, she thought in her mind she was playing with other children. There was other entities in there that she was playing with. It was dark in that room, and there was this big dark figure that stood over here in this one corner. She had been told all her life that was her protector. Okay? And so as we come down, I never dealt with that. Never dealt. We did one room at a time, one room at a time, one room at a time, till we got to that one. And then it took some time. And then we had to pray. And I prayed and I said, God, would you please let her see what she's really playing with? And she was able to see in the spirit realm, and she saw these were all demons that she was playing with. She thought they was other kids in the room, in the playpen that she was playing with. It was demons. So we got rid of the kids, okay? And then, but that dark figure in the corner, her protector. We can't mess with the protector. He's protected her all her life. No. One day, while I was praying, that thing moved to the side, and there was a door behind it, and she could see out the door, and she saw a tree and sunlight, and everything she saw outside. She saw the real world. And she realized he was not her protector. He was the strong man that was keeping her in there. And then we dealt with the strong man, got rid of him, and she got set free. See? And so, you know, the Bible says first you must bind the strong man, but I couldn't go after the strong man. It was too much in her life. But we got rid of each individual little room, and we got down to that point, and then I was able to deal with it. And it was just the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, the power of the prayer and the Holy Spirit moved him to the side, and she was able. See, here's what the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When she saw the truth, that these weren't little kids, these were demons, and that wasn't a protector, he was the strong man that was keeping her in that room and wouldn't let her out, then we could deal with him. When she saw outside and she saw truth, she saw light. And that tree, big green tree, it was amazing. It's in my book, you know. It's amazing. Okay, I talked to you about support systems, didn't I? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Integration. Sometimes whenever people go through this, and this is my last point, okay? Sometimes when people go through this, they will get very discouraged. I had one girl one time come to me, and she came to me, and she was working on her master's degree, and struggling a lot, struggling with life. Wanted to quit school because I'm not getting anything anyway. Everything else is getting it. I'm over here and I'm not getting anything. I said, no, it's going in there. It's going in. You're getting it. It may not seem like it, and you may not be able to function too well, and you're having a lot of problems or anything else, but it's getting in there and you're getting it. And, you know, because she wanted to bolt. She wanted to run. I kept her there. Kept her there. Kept working with her. Kept working with her. And I'm so proud of her. She's been with us for 18 years. Sherry right there. See, and she does. She got her master's degree. She's a physical therapist. And I'm just very, very proud of her. She's my daughter, my spiritual daughter. And she, part of her testimony is in my book. And it's just amazing, you know. She's the one who stayed with me 18 years, you know. And so, I know that it, sometimes when you're dealing with someone like that, it looks like it's just an impossible situation. And a lot of times what happens is that people give up on them. And you have to just understand the person themselves, Billy Bob, really isn't that manipulative. Okay? It's just something else takes over. And it's just like that. And so you have to be with them. And sometimes it takes a longer time. Sometimes it takes a short time. But don't give up if you're working with someone like that. Because I tell you, it's just amazing. You know, I worked with a kid who was autistic one time. I'll tell you the autistic story. I got so many. Okay, one more, please. One more. This kid, what happened was a woman in our church went through deliverance, and I was on another church, on staff in another church, and she went through deliverance, and then her husband left her. He wasn't really a believer. He left her. And she came to me, and I told her how to do spiritual warfare, and she did spiritual warfare, and he came back. He came back. You know, hallelujah. So she was a real believer in this stuff, you know. And so she was a special education teacher. And the special education teacher, you know, they have kids at special ed. And that this one kid, Robbie, had autism. They told him, Robbie will never be able to go to regular school. He'll never be cured because there's no cure for autism. And, you know, he probably won't live that long, and da-da-da-da-da. All the curses that come from the medical profession and the psychiatric profession. Well, at a teacher's conference one day, or a big PTO meeting, this mother of this kid stood up and talked about Robbie and everything else. And just before she sat down, she said, but we're believing for God, for Robbie's total healing. Well, that was all that teacher needed to hear. You know, because she came over and she said, you need to go see Philip Morris. And so she called me. I put her through deliverance. I put the dad through deliverance. And what the situation was, mom and dad met in college, and either just before they graduated or right after they graduated, they got married, started their family. Started their life. They both got careers going, and she got pregnant. And Robbie ruined her career. She didn't want Robbie from the get-go. She was mad. She just didn't want him. He ruined her career. Robbie's born with autism. After putting them two through deliverance, had them bring Robbie in on Friday night. And Robbie's just bouncing off the walls, you know, and he's going everywhere off the walls. And I can't, you know, I'd stick my hand out, he'd run underneath, and I'd pray real quick. So what I did was I took a chair like this, and, oh, I'm sorry. I had Dad sit down like this and spread his legs, and Mom sat down and with her back to Dad, and then had Mom hold Robbie right here like he's back in the womb. And I led them in prayers of repentance to Robbie, apologizing to Robbie, and then I led them in the prayer from Psalms 139, that you're fearfully, wonderfully made, and God, you're not a mistake, and all that. And ask God to turn his backward spirit around. And they ministered to him, you know, like that. It was a very touching thing. And afterwards, there's no difference in Robbie. You know, so nothing was changed in Robbie. And I had to tell, or in fact, my wife told the mom, listen, we don't live by sight, we live by faith. We live by faith, not sight. Something happened in the spirit realm tonight, and it will manifest. Friday night, Sunday morning, they're either going to a Presbyterian or Methodist church. I mean, you know, it wasn't a charismatic church or anything like that. These are people that had great faith. They loved Jesus, you know. Mom always took him to the nursery, and Grandma went and picked him up. And Robbie, of course, being autistic, never shared toys with anybody, never played with anybody else. 3.5 years old, had never spoken a full sentence. He'd grunt, point, scream. They taught him to mechanically hug. When there's someone hug you, that's the way he hugged. Just like that. That's all he knew. He would be over, you see a fan like that, he'd fix it. On that fan, you know, or the water fountain or whatever, you know. Never was. Well, Mom took him and put him in the nursery. Grandma came back after church to pick him up. He's in the middle of the floor. This is 3 days later, right? On Friday night, Sunday morning, hallelujah, Sunday morning's coming. Praise God. Sunday morning's coming. Amen. Grandma went in there. He's sitting in the middle of the floor playing with the other kids. He turns around and sees her. He said, that's my grandma, and runs over and give her a big hug and a kiss. Holy mackerel, I could give grandma a heart attack. You know? But he was totally healed. Autism. You know? God did it. God did it, man. And so, anyway, I'm sorry, Tom. I'm sorry for y'all. Please forgive me for taking so long. I've got so much in there, and it's just this other picture that I've got. Did you all see it? It's in the book.
Give me a book.
But that the shaded areas, the dark shaded areas in there, those are memories that have walls around them that are blocked off in there. Okay, and so. That's life's information and memories. In those dark areas, that's where the strongholds are. That's demons guard those things. And you have to come against those. You have to, the gatekeeper of that memory, you have to come against him, you have to come against the protector. You have, a lot of things like that. It's in the book, okay?
By the book
and the tape. Amen. I'm sorry. Y'all fasting today? Thank you all. God bless you all. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.